The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Therapeutic Thursday as we talk about the coronavirus 19. How's this whole thing line up with Scripture? We'll take a peek at that. Also, we dive into the exchange between Abraham's servant and Rebecca's family. Some fascinating stuff I came across today. And finally, the Scriptures that challenge us to be aware of how much God is aware.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. Again, those are not the numbers to the atomic code. I don't want you to get afraid. 972-445-0770. If you type those numbers into your phone will not explode. It will not have any major effect on your life. And it is your phone. You can do it. Keep in mind, any topic is open for a conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. We have so much stuff to cover, but let's give acknowledgement to our ministry partners. Give a shout out for Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, wind, flood, and smoke cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services. It's a great company with thousands of happy customers. If you've got a problem in your apartment, in your church, in your building, if you're a real estate agent, you need some help, something's going on, if you're an apartment manager and you got a problem, call Mr. Restore. The way to do that, there's a couple ways to get a hold of them. MrRestore.com if you want restoration to what went wrong. You can also go to HeMustIncrease.org. We have a direct link that goes through our website. Plus, you can contact them at 877-631-7576, 877-631-7576. Now, there's real simple stuff going here. If you've got a problem and you need somebody to help you get your process, your building, your apartment, your office, your church, your home back to normal, you want to get in touch with Mr. Restore and you want to get in touch with Clint. Besides that, they are actively supporting and a big part of the Adaptive Training Foundation, which we believe is one of the better causes around the Texas area, especially the North Texas area or East Texas area. We encourage you to touch base with them if there's anything you need. As Clint told us on the phone, he will walk you through every step so you know what's going on so you can get back to where things were. Hopefully, 1 week from today, Clint will be on our show. It'll be our one-year anniversary. Get a chance to talk to him about the business. Get a chance to talk to him about the Adaptive Training Foundation. And get a chance to hear about his testimony. That would be awesome. All right, so I've had something heavy on my heart. We're going to talk about the virus in a second, but I've had something heavier on my heart from yesterday. Do you remember what happened yesterday, what I did? Do you remember my dumb? I felt bad all night.
Oh.
Now you just remembered,
when
huh?
When you called the listener,
yeah.
You thought it was a guy and it was a lady.
Well, I have no defense. I am completely embarrassed. I completely apologize. It was a little hard to hear on the phone, as I had mentioned.
The phone was crackly.
It was really crackly.
It's hard to hear sometimes.
So I wasn't sure if it was one person or another, and I went with the one, and it was the other. So I apologize. I said bro instead of sister, and I should just say friend.
Yeah. Because,
so if you're out there listening, I want you to know I did bad. I am sorry. I apologize. That's as good as an apology as you're ever going to get from me. You'll never get it in writing. You might as well take it on the air. Today does not have a lot of good holidays.
Okay.
Do you have any idea what they are? Because they're just really...
No.
Okay. One of these, a National Baked Scallop Day. I mean, do you like baked scallops?
I do.
Okay. Why? No, I'm kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'd rather have them fried.
Okay. Well, it's Baked Scallop Day. The other thing is Plant a Flower Day. I can buy into that.
Yeah.
But it's a better one is Popcorn Lover Day. And I like popcorn.
I do too, but it gets in my teeth. I just don't eat it very much anymore.
I never really had too many problems. And then they came out with that cheddar cheese popcorn stuff. And then it was just like, okay, this isn't fair anymore. A couple things I will tell you in regards to history. In 1894, on this day, the first Coca-Cola bottle was sold on this day in 1894.
Wow.
So that's like, wow. That is pretty good. Girl Scouts were founded in this day in 1912. FDR held his first fireside chat, 1933. Many people don't know what the Truman Doctrine was from a political point of view and from a presidential point of view. The Truman Doctrine, was a doctrine that whatever the Soviet Union was doing geopolitically, that they would do the opposite to stop their expansion during the Cold War. That's the Truman Doctrine. That was actually proclaimed on this day in 1947. And then two other things. One, Dennis the Menace, the comic strip, appeared in 1951.
Mr. Wilson!
I don't think the show did that good a job. Every once in a while, Noelle's watching. Like, she gets up at like, not early like you, because you get up. Well, I mean,
right.
We're going to bed when you get up. They have that older Dennis the Menace show. I'm not impressed. I mean, the comic strip was good. But the show, he just, I don't know, he moves a little slow.
The movie was funny.
Yeah. Well, see, that's different. And also, for those that are into biblical history, 515 BC on this day, the Second Temple of Jerusalem was finished. For those that do not know, it's something you can call and talk about. But for those that are like, oh, that's cool, that's cool. You know, this goes way, way back. So if you're trying to figure out at Jewish weddings why they break a glass, it has to do with a connection traditionally with the destruction of the temple. People don't know that. And actually, they don't use glass anymore. People don't know that either.
No.
They use a light bulb. They take a light bulb and they wrap it in a thing and they... because it's glass, but it pops and it makes a loud sound. And everybody goes, how about the gila?
Okay.
You know, everybody's happy.
All right. Okay. Is it coronavirus time now?
Yes. All right, folks, let's start this off very carefully. I am not a doctor, but I play one on TV. A little Marcus Welby for you there. I will tell you these four things real quickly. My daughter-in-law went to the doctor yesterday. She's 35 weeks pregnant. Yesterday. How long ago is this? Yesterday.
Okay.
How long ago? Yesterday. So she said to the doctor, what do I need to know about the coronavirus? What do I need to be aware of? And the doctor was very specific. Now, this is for a baby that's 35 weeks in the womb.
Right.
So this is important, right? Mm-hmm. Wash your hands. Don't stick your face in places it shouldn't be. Behave yourself and don't freak out. Get out of my office. Okay.
I was at Tom Thumb yesterday and the guy in front of me had like 12 packs of toilet paper. I don't know why people are buying all this
toilet paper. I don't get it.
It's not a cure.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
This is the thing. You can say whatever you want. I'm just going to deal with this scripturally real quickly. But I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of people on the radio and on television there was even a former disgraced evangelist that was saying, if you buy my product, it will save you from the virus.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, come on, people. So here it is. And I'm going to make this super easy for everybody. I am not a doctor. I do not proclaim to be a doctor. I am not a television fake doctor like the cable news people are fake doctors, not the real ones on the show. I'm talking about the hosts. All of a sudden, they're all medical experts. It's like, are you kidding? Don Lemonbar's just got to stop. It's just getting outrageous. This guy's like, he's lost his mind. His cookies went off the crumbling somewhere.
We don't have any of that going on here.
Which is not, I'm not going down that road. Here it is. If this, the people, I've had somebody say, this is a pestilence from God, Dave, from Luke chapter 21, verse 11. Okay, let me help you out. If it's a pestilence from God, it's the worst one ever because you can stop it by washing your hands. So when God typically does judgment, he doesn't go, aha, I am judging you. But if you wash your hands, it won't hurt you.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no. That's not how the judgment system goes. And then for those that are really caught up in Luke 21, 11, thinking that there's a connection, I'm going to say this just because you know me. There's no way I'm not going to. It says this. He continued saying to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues and famines. There'll be terrors and great signs from heaven. But, see that B-U-T?
Yes.
B-U-T. Before all these things, something's going to happen first. They will lay their hands on you. They will persecute you. They will deliver you up to the synagogue and the prisons and bring you before kings and governors for my name's sake. I haven't seen a whole bunch of that going on.
No.
So I'm not making the connection between Luke 21, 11, and 12. And then just because I can't resist... I just can't resist. Then there is those that are saying, but look at, is this Luke 21, verse 26? Because men's hearts are fainting from fear. This is what happens when you take scripture so far out of context, you know what's going on. Verse 25 says, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations, and perplexity and roaring of the sea and the waves, and men will be fainting from fear and the expectation of things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. This has to do with Jupiter falling out of the sky. This doesn't have to do with a virus that thus far has gone less than 1%.
It's going to be okay. Go home. Drink out of the hose.
Gosh.
It'll be all right.
That's not what's more amazing is how fast people can react to fear. And then if you get political on it, which I'm not going to do, you just see everybody seizing this as a political opportunity. It's like, what is wrong with you people? Do you not have a life? Do you not go do a job? You know, it's like, well, the NBA was canceled, Dave. Yeah, I haven't watched a game in like 2 years.
March is no longer mad.
Yeah, and March, I mean, that's
in March
anymore. Disappointing, but come on. Come on. And it's like, you're making light of this. Okay, and I'm going to close with, you'll love this.
Okay.
I'm going to close with this. If you are really a Christian, you should be praying for anything to happen that speeds up the Lord's return. When Barack Obama got elected in 2000 and whatever it was 2012, the second election he got, the second time he got elected, people were bummed out. All these Christians were bummed out. And I said, if you really think that Barack Obama is going to bring about the coming of Christ, you should be happy. You should be, all right, Jesus is coming sooner. And if this disease brings the return of Jesus Christ to come to our forefront sooner, you should be dancing in the streets if you really want Jesus to come back, not just live an American life that's really cool, then you die and you think you're going to go to heaven because of everything you heard. So it's like, come on, man. Somebody go to the bank, take out a loan, and buy a clue. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back with other teaching. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
On Christ the solid rock, I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You are welcome to reach out and touch base with us, 972-445-0770. You can say howdy. I got a trivia question coming up in just a second. You can go to our website, hemustincrease.org. hemustincrease.org. In the middle of that site is an opportunity to give. We would ask you to seriously, prayerfully consider giving. We've had some people give in the last week. It's been super duper blessing. We are actually halfway to where we need to be, which I think is cool. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I might get to the point where I just throw numbers up on the internet and say, this is what we have, this is what we got, this is what we need. I don't care. It's like, you got to be, let's just be straightforward about the whole thing. Bottom line, we need some help. If you can help, great. If you can't, we'd ask you to pray for us. I know that after I did that coronavirus 19 thing, we probably had 1,000 people turn off their radios. Come on, folks. You got to use the word of God, not just when it suits you. You have to use it in totality. Okay? You can't use part of it. You got to use all of it. And the scripture's pretty clear if you keep it in context. I know what the eschatological people are saying. I get it. But at least keep it in context. That'd be a good idea. Again, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Before we go any further, let me give a shout out to Kimberly McQuinn.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard.
All right, that's a little bit better on the fade. Sometimes we get to the end of that song, we just go zip. Bottom line, Kimberly. So Kimberly McQuinn Ellis. Her name is Kimberly McQuinn Ellis, but now it's Kimberly Ellis. And so she has fully taken on her husband's name, which I think is just a very cool thing. You know what's going on there. Here's the deal. If you want to talk to somebody who knows a great deal about real estate but is not so knowledgeable that you can't talk to them, you know, sometimes you'll talk to like a real estate like guru and you're like, well, I don't really understand this beginning part. So I got to sign like, you know, this kind of agreement. What is this? And they're like, I don't have time to talk to you. I'm too smart. You don't want to deal with people like that. You want to deal with a brother or a sister in the Lord. Kimberly loves the Lord. Her husband, Tony, great guy. These are great Christians. If you've got something going on, you're a first-time buyer, you're an experienced investor, you're in a foreclosure situation or even a short sale, You want to get in touch with Kimberly, you just call her at 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. Just think of 48 homes. Kimberly will talk to you for no cost, walk you through it, and if she can't help you, she will direct you to where you need to go. That's because she's made a commitment to serve the people of God. I like it. I just like stuff like that. 903-48-HOMES. You can also connect to her through HeMustIncrease.org under Best Ministry Partners Ever. Ha! There you go. All right, let's throw out a trivia question and get to the next element. Here's the first trivia question. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Who was the woman judge who led Israel? She was not the military person, but she was the woman judge, and she got the credit and acknowledged so, and she stood up and went forward when nobody else were. What was her name? Guess where you'd probably find this? In Judges. Get it? Okay, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Just for clarification's sake, you hear me talking about the virus, you hear me talking about something, I'm just trying to relate everything to Scripture. The reason is because I believe that is the rule, the rule by which we operate in, the plumb line. But I do believe Spirit-led, Bible-grounded, Spirit-led, got to be led by the Holy Spirit. But Bible-grounded is a big key in that process. All right, who am I talking to?
This is Donald from Greenville, Texas.
Hi, Donald, how are you?
I'm fine.
All right, so now we got a question. It's not a complex question, but it's an interesting question. Who was the woman judge who led Israel to victory? She had appointed somebody to be a military person, but who was the person that was the judge?
Was it Deborah?
That is correct, sir! You got it!
Man, I listen to you every day, and I'm always ready to listen to your trivia questions, and I was like, man, I know this one. I just looked this up the other day, so.
There you go.
Cool.
Excellent job, my friend. Excellent job. It's funny because you get into cultural and societal arguments about this, that, whatever, and you know what God does? God uses people that go, here I am. It's like, okie dokie, let's do it. And it's like people it's so bizarre.
Exactly. I've been listening to your show, so you know, you have these trivia questions, so sometimes I pass them along to my girlfriend, but at night, she lives in a different town than I do. But we talk on the phone, and we do this Bible trivia a couple of times a week, so.
That's awesome. Now, you have to ask her this question. So, like, when you talk to her, you got to go, okay, who was the woman judge?
I'll do it.
And then you go, I got this right. I got the props on this one. So just tell me what you think. That's awesome. Great job. Great, great job. I appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, David. Love your show.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You bet.
All right. Fun. I mean, we just, you know, we have fun. We get into the Word. Now, watch this. This is from my devotions today. Some of you are going to go, what? Because I kind of did a what when I went through this. This is the story in Genesis 24, when Abraham's servant was going out. And if you remember, he was sent by Abraham to get a wife for Isaac, right? And it turned out to be Rebecca. We know that. We'll get into that in a second. But what happened was he met her, and then he went back to the family, then he had a chance to talk with Laban and Bethuel. And what happened at this point is he wanted to see where his situation was, where he stood, and where he was at. Now, the thing I'm going to teach in the next segment is going to blow your mind, because when I read it, I was like, uh-oh, I don't like that stuff. But this is what he said, and listen to what he says, and learn from his response on some of the things that we need to respond to. This is him saying, whose daughter are you? She said, daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, from Micah, born to him. So he put the ring on her nose. He put the bracelets in her arms. And then he's going through this. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master kinsman for his son. Now then, now look at what he asks. If you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Now, most people read that and go, so? See, but I am a little stranger because I look at that and I go, how many times in my life have I not waited to be told and then just went right or left? It's just like, I'm going right, I'm going left, I'm going right, I'm going left. And when I read this, I'm thinking the servant of Abraham, the one thing this guy had, I mean, besides he was had favor with the Lord, the angel went in front of him as you get into the story and, you know, gave him victory, led him into the right path. But he says to the people, okay, if you're going to be with me in this, tell me. And if you're not going to be with me, just tell me, and then I'll know how to respond. And what I, you know, there's a lot you can get out of there. There's a lot of application. But for me, dynamic application principle, the thing that really speaks to me is he waited to hear to hear what the situation was before he made a decision. One of my big faults, as Wonder Julie would attest to, and if my wife ever goes on the air, she could speak about, oh, for a year, is I don't wait to get the info. I jump. The scripture says that it's a fool that answers a matter before he hears it. And there are times where you and I will go, it's left, it's right, the answer is six. You know, it's like we come up with, and it's like sometimes you can not do any of that and wait so that the decision you make can be based on more of a wisdom decision. And not just with the framework of the gut. It's not that you can't make decisions that are gut decisions. In fact, 2 Corinthians talks about Paul saying he didn't have peace of mind, so he went a different direction. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. But what I'm saying is when we respond to something before we hear it, before we know, we oftentimes are jumping before we're looking. And that's not always faith. Sometimes that's just goofy. And we don't need to do that. And so he was just straightforward. Okay, if you're going to stand with me in what I'm doing here, tell me that. And if you're not going to, tell me that. And then I'm going to make my decision based on what you tell me. And I thought, well, I admire his patience. He just came on this journey. He knows this is the girl. He knows this is the situation. Doesn't force it down anybody's throat. He just says, tell me what you're going to do. And then I'll decide what I'm going to do. And it's like, wow. So for me, the application and why we don't get this next one will blow your mind. But for me, it's like I need to do that. I need to stop jumping or presuming. One of my great sins, and I mentioned it the other day, is I don't let the Lord finish it. If I have a nuance of what God is doing, I think I'm here to help. I would have absolutely been Abraham. If Noel and I were back there and God would have said, I promised you a child, that would have been great. And then if that didn't happen within a certain amount of time, I'd had 10 children, not one. It must be this one. It must be this one. It must be this one. That's because that's how I am. But sometimes you can just wait and be patient and make your decision based on the info that's coming in once you have it. It is a fool that answers a matter before he hears it. So, like, slow it down, take a deep breath, do it in the Lord, and use the grace, the mercy, and the wisdom he gave you to make the best decisions you can. There you go. Now, this next one, you're going to hate me for. I already hate me for it, and I haven't even told you what it is yet. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A key reminder for you, if you want to get some of our music, livinginhisgrip.com is the website you can get that free from. You're also welcome to call the show, 972-445-0770, and say howdy. You can even say it like this, howdy. We have a trivia question coming up. Before we get to that trivia question, don't forget hemustincrease.org, which pretty much is how we coordinate most things. We run everything off that. First, let's give a shout-out to our good friend who's supposed to be in the studio tomorrow, will be in the studio tomorrow, our very good friend Johnny Hill from Men of God.
We're moving on now, to the side, to the
Man of God Moving, Johnny Hill he's been on the show quite a bit, and you've had this opportunity to hear him do some teaching, and he does the show with me, and you're thinking, what's that all about? And here's both of our answers to you, just so you can know, we have no idea. God put us together, we met, and I just really got this impression that this young man, who's really not that much younger than I am, but that he needed a little bit of a ministry format to be able to share and to learn to teach. Now he's leading Bible studies, and he's doing segments on the show, and I think the Lord has a bigger ministry for him as time goes on. So this is the opportunity we're giving him. In the meantime, he's got a company called Men of God Moving, which we just got a phone call the other day saying how wonderful they were. And we recognize that his business is a blessing for many people. You can get in touch with him by going to menofgodmoving.com, or you can contact them by going to hemustincrease.org. If you've got anything going on for moving, it doesn't matter if it's small, doesn't matter if it's big, doesn't matter what it is, they'll take care of you, and they'll treat your materials and your movables like they're their own. And that's part of that, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself idea. So if you're going to move stuff, if you treat that stuff like it's your own, that's a great fulfillment of that. Okay? All right. Okay? All right. All right. I will tell you, for those that are wondering what's wrong with my brain, I did. In fact, I'm 21 pages away from reading my second complete book in the last 5.5 days. Pre-reading for the PhD class. The class doesn't even start till Monday. I'm going to have 2 of the books written. I've already got 9 of the outlines done. I need help. That's all I got for you. I don't need a little help. I need a lot of help. It explains why I was on Ritalin, doesn't it? And when I was a young kid, by the way, just so you can know, in first grade, I would apparently they tell me this, I would get up in the middle of class and go, boring, and then I'd leave and walk home. And they would have to come get me. And I never said I was a genius. I just said I was active. Here's our trivia question. What did God change Jacob's name to before his meeting with Esau? There was a name change that went on. Jacob had one name, changed to another. What was the name change? 972-445-0770. Don't do anything distracting while you're driving if you're in a car. No trivia question is worth losing your concentration. I will say, so be careful there. 972-445-0770. I promise not to insult you if you call. Best I can. What did God change Jacob's name to before he met with Esau? Okay. Two books. I've never read two books in like a 5-day span in my life. I'm not sure I like it. Okay. So I'm doing my devotions, and I've told you, I try to share it straightforward. I'll come across something and it will speak to me or jump off the page. And so what they'll teach is, like in the inductive Bible study method or in these different methods, you're supposed to, you know, read the text and then read the text as the people would have heard it, and then read the text as it applies to you. So have the general senses of the text, then have the applicable text for the people, and then have the personal application for you. Goes more along the lines of the inductive study Bible system. And I support that, by the way. Don't get the wrong idea. I think it's great. I just find that for me and for a lot of people, there's times where you read the Bible and there's always this, not every single time you read, but oftentimes there's this glimmer of these passages that come out and somehow have this personal application for you. And you're like, yeah, I got to do that. Or, yeah, I need to be closer to that kind of mindset. Or, yeah, I didn't realize this. And that, again, happened to me in this reading here that we're talking about. So we were just talking about Abraham, and we were talking about Abraham's servant, and he goes to find a wife for Isaac. It turns out to be Rebekah. And he meets with Laban and Bethuel, and in their meeting, he tells them the whole circumstance and everything. And this was their response. This is Genesis 24:50. And I want you to see if you get this the way I got this. If I'm getting this wrong, I apologize. But this is what it spoke to me, and so I kind of want to share it with you. It says, then Laban and Bethuel answered, and remember, we just talked about it. He said, now tell me whether you're going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, or tell me if you're not going to, that I can know whether to turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. See, now I read that and I understand the context, and it's a, you know, telling of the story and the narrator's explaining this, so I get all that. But look at what is being said. This thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. We cannot say, hey, this is fantastic, or hey, this is lousy. Here's the thing that comes across for me as I read stuff like this, and I'm just trying to see if you kind of get this same mindset. This thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. In other words, it's not even for us to say this is from God. It doesn't matter whether we're positive about it or negative about it. And that's the part that I take away. It doesn't matter whether we like it or not. If it's from God, it's from God, and so it shall be. And what it does is it removes our power, only yielding it to God, not to other people, but to God, saying, well, it's you, so let's just have it happen. In other words, it's you, but I don't like it, God. And it's like, yeah, you know what? You don't really even have the right to say that. Oh, we say it. We just you don't have the right. Oh, I don't like this trial. But it's from God. So you should neither say anything positive or negative, whether you like it or not, it's from God. You're going through it. Period. And you can act one way or another, but what I'm trying to speak of here is the sovereignty of God. No matter how much free will exists, and I believe it exists, it is not greater than a determination from God. If God determined that you were going to grow 6 feet, you would grow 6 feet in that next millizillion second. In other words, it's up to him. He's sovereign. And you might like it, if you like the NBA, or you might not. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Because if it's from God, then we accept it. Now, we as Christians get the benefit of Genesis through Revelation. We get the 66 books. We get the 39 in the Old Testament, the 27 in the New. We get the 40 authors. We get that whole process. So we get to understand through theology that God has our best interests in mind always. But just because God has our best interests doesn't change you and I from saying, I like it. I don't like it. What it means is that that doesn't really matter, but because of our breadth of knowledge that he's given us in his word, we can trust him whether we like it or not. It's from the Lord. Well, then here we go. And because it's from the Lord, by the way, the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament, gives pretty much many indicators as to what our attitude should be. It should be an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, regardless. But it's not conditioned on whether we like it or whether we don't. Can I just confess my own sin to you and just be honest? When we're going through, like, the trials we're going through on the finances, I don't like it. Okay? When I have to use plastic, I don't like it. All right? When I have to make a payment to a credit card, I don't like it. And I'm not talking about, you know, the overall financial principles, and I'm not upplaying or downplaying people like Ramsey or anybody else that got, you know, I'm not talking about any of that. I believe that this is the direction the Lord wants me to go in. I'm doing my best to do it. I'm trying to follow, but I don't always like it. Other than I trust in his goodness. And that's the key. That the goodness of God is greater than my understanding of like or dislike. So I'm going to go out on a limb and see if you can make this connection with me. And we've talked about it before. Martha and Mary didn't like God's style, his timing, his methodology, but God was going to do it. And they certainly liked the results afterwards when Lazarus was raised from the dead, but they would have done it different. And that's all I'm saying is that that's our, well, I don't like the way you do this. And most of the time, it's a we don't like it thing. I mean, just for me, maybe not for you. So my point in saying all this is this thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak get bad or good. It's God's plan. His plan's going to happen. If I understand his word and believe his word, then he has my best interest in mind. I'm not going to speak about this. I'm not going to speak bad about this. I'm going to speak good of it. Lord, here it is. Ready? Thy kingdom come. Here it is. Thy will be done. Oh, wait, that's what we're supposed to pray every day. Thy will be done. All right? Got it? Did you make that connection? Awesome! All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just we got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do have a trivia question that's on the board. We did not get an answer. I just refuse to believe that somebody doesn't have the answer to this. This is in Genesis, so I know you can find this. What did God change Jacob's name to? I'll just stop there. I don't have to say before he met Esau. What did God change Jacob's name to? Jacob had two names. What was the one that God changed it to? 972-445-0770. Not really a trick question. I have a couple of those. I just tend not to use them on the show. It doesn't seem very nice, you know, when you're doing the trick question. It doesn't seem like a nice thing. But it's a simple question, and it is an important question, and it is a very theological question, actually, because it has to do with God making, well, we're going to find that out right when we have our person who's calling in answer. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Lee in Benbrook, Texas.
Hi, Lee. How are you?
Fantastic.
Oh, that's, I'm
when
glad
I get through with
that.
This one, hey, when I get through with this, I have, from the other day, the man, I have a trivia question for you.
Uh-oh. So do you want to give me this one, and then you can give me yours? You give me the answer, and then give me the question?
I would say Israel.
That is correct, sir. You are 100% correct. It's Israel. Changed it from Jacob to Israel. He became he is technically the leader of the 12. People always think it's Abraham, but it's actually Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 kids. So the 12 tribes of Israel come from Jacob. So that's an important element. So good job there. I only can hope I can answer your trivia question. What do you got for me?
Well, you had Haman, who in the book of Esther, he was, because of Saul not eradicating a tribe, what was Haman his where or what was his lineage from? What tribe that the God wanted Saul to eradicate?
What tribe? I want to repeat the question so I can understand. What tribe did Haman try to eradicate in Israel?
Haman comes from a group of people that God told Saul to eradicate.
Ah, what a great question. And it's at the top of my tongue, but I'm not going to be able to figure it out fast enough. What
Amalekite.
Tribe? Amalekites. Good job. Excellent job. All right.
Show.
Thank you, sir. That is great. Great work. Thank you. Great, great job. Excellent. I love it. I love it. I love it. We got CR people. Now they're calling and asking me questions. That's really good. The Amalekites. Good job. Excellent. All right. And then we got that trivia question answered. Excellent job there. Okay, folks, here we go. Here's our last teach for the day. This is I hope this is encouraging. It was just something that, again, as you can tell, the last two things that we've talked about have come out of Genesis 24, right? So yeah, this last one's going to do that too. Why? Because it was in my devotions. And you think, well, how long do your devotions last? Long. They last a long time. Listen to this. In Genesis 24:25, going back to that servant, he said this. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring, drew water, and I said to her, please let me drink. Okay? Now watch how important every nuance is in Scripture. He said, before I had finished speaking in my heart. Now, the speaking in my heart part, you get that, because you can pray inwardly unto the Lord and he hears it. So the people that teach theology that you have to speak in order to do that, that's a loser proposition. Don't think that. Okay. But he said, before I had finished. This is the first book in the Old Testament, right? It's Genesis. Genesis 24:25. Before I had finished. Before the servant had finished the prayer. Right? Now watch. First book in the New Testament is Matthew. So first book in the Old Testament, Genesis. First book in the New Testament, Matthew. Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now watch this. Getting the key there? Before. Keyword is before. So before he finished speaking in the Old Testament, first book in the Old Testament, God already had that answer coming. And Jesus, again, reiterating in Matthew 6:8, said, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. When you come to the Father, I know it's hard to imagine this, but when you don't understand God is sovereign, this is where the problem is. God knows what you need. He actually knows what you actually need versus what you think you need, and he knows what you kind of want versus what you really want. He kind of knows all that, and he knows it beforehand. Now, here's why I think this is cool. First book in the Old Testament, God's making a witness. Hey, I know beforehand. First book in the New Testament, Jesus through Jesus Christ, God makes this witness. The Father knows before him what you're going to ask. Right about in the middle, not exactly in the middle because Psalm 117, 18, and 19 are actually in the middle, but right in the middle area in Isaiah 65, it says, before they call, I will answer. Yet again, God saying, before, while they are yet speaking, he says, I will hear. The Matthew 6:8, he knows what you need before you ask him, is telling you that he knows ahead of time what it is. In Genesis, the guy doesn't even finish the prayer. Their answer's already on the way. Isaiah takes a bit of both of those, which is kind of a fascinating way to think of it. And that before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. All of that to say this. God knows beforehand. When you come to the Lord and you're seeking his favor and you're praying, you are not informing God in the context of giving him information about your situation. You're partnering with God in the circumstance. It's not like God's up there going, really? You've got this going on in your life? I didn't know. Huh. Who would have thought? That's not what's going on. When you partner with God, you are saying to the Lord, as you know, this is my circumstance. I want to do this with you because you're the only place I can get this answer. You see how different that spirit is? Sometimes you come in prayer and I do this and you do this. And just be honest, we give a laundry list. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Sometimes, you know what we should do? We should come in prayer and instead of even listing one thing, just from time to time, we should just say, you know everything there is that I need. I just want to thank you for everything. I just want to praise you for all the times that you help me, and I know you're going to help me in the things that are pressing in on my heart and mind, and I just want you to I just want to express my appreciation. And see, sometimes you can do that. And you think, well, Dave, that's, I don't know if that's theologically correct. Not only is it theologically correct, it is actually goes to the intent of your creation. Anything that goes to the intent of your creation is theologically correct. And for you to partner with God is a part of that intent of your creation. He knows beforehand, even while you're still speaking the prayer, and yet he wants you to petition with him and spend the time with him and pursue him and connect with him. Do you know why he does all that stuff? Because he loves you. Not because he hates you, not because he's bored and wants to have a petri dish to play with. He does it because he loves you. And he loves you hanging out with him. And in fact, he loves it so much that one day it's going to go on with no interruption whatsoever. But in the meantime, when you're praying, you get to enjoy him, petition him, recognize he knows, and partner with him in it. Now, that is what makes sense in Christianity. All the other stuff's just ridiculous. I mean, it just gets so weird. Enjoy God, and when you pray, enjoy the fellowship. He's certainly enjoying you. Get it? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.